The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Did you go shopping recently?
I did.
You have a bunch of new clothes, I've noticed. I noticed these things, bro.
This guy,
I noticed Sal's been wearing black socks on a regular basis now. I saw you have nice new shoes.
Yeah, you made me feel self-conscious, you asshole. I got black socks.
Don't think it happens. We mention things about each other, and the next time it's like, we improved immediately.
It would be impactful. It would be amazing if we actually hung out every day, dude. Like, that's, you know what we need to do? We need to get the fuck out of here.
We do.
Doug's been talking about that for a while. We need to hang out.
We need to retreat.
Yeah.
We don't even, it doesn't have to be crazy, just a spot. But
I don't care where it is. It just needs to be away.
Yeah, because, somebody who has like a VRBO house or something like that.
Something, because people don't realize how little time we actually spend together.
Because
we're so busy doing other shit, and what we need to do is spend more time together.
Well, it usually involves like headphones and a microphone.
Yeah. You know, like get away for like a weekend or something like that. Then we can work. We can like plan how we're gonna grow mind. How we're gonna take over the world.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Two or three days in a house somewhere that's not like crazy. You know, like by Tahoe or somewhere like that, where we can just literally pull out the computers, pull some content, literally rip some content. I bet we could probably rip one or two books out in a day or two if we actually had two full days, right?
Absolutely.
Between all of us.
We just melded our minds, because we all do it individually, you know, but it's like...
Totally.
Yeah, if we were like in a corner, like, hey, let's get this done, boom, it's done.
If that's all we had to do, if we get a house and all we had to do was sit there and put out content...
Yeah,
Justin and Doug could totally do that while me and Adam go
work. You guys would be eating something.
Me and Adam in the background throw shit out.
Dude, like, I got this idea.
Add barbell curls to that one. And
that's a great idea.
Show us when you guys are done with the next section.
We're trying to analyze that and put that into actual English with like punctuation and grammar and shit. You know all that useless stuff people have to
You know, maybe just Justin and Doug should get a retreat.
That's where I go, okay, I should.
The irony is like it's my least favorite thing I do is write, but you know I do it as out of necessity.
Is it really?
Yeah, you know I don't really get a lot of enjoyment out of it at all,
unless I'm writing a screenplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
well, write a screenplay about Mind Pump.
You know, I should,
but put it in the form of a program we could sell.
What the fuck?
That's all you gotta do, bro.
What the fuck does that look like?
I don't know.
You know what I want to? Okay, these are the two. We're on air right now. We have the power of this radio station. We may as well utilize it. So I
put out in the universe.
I'm gonna put this out in the universe right here. These are two things that I'm looking for, or we are looking for right now.
Gold teeth.
No.
Okay.
You know what? One.
That would be awesome.
We haven't talked about this in a long time. I'm in search of a blogger. I want someone to blog for Mind Pump. I want to find somebody out there that is a passionate fan.
I swear to God, I thought you said blonde at first.
Ooh.
It would be, they could be blonde if they want to be. That's fine.
It doesn't matter.
I'm looking for someone who wants to blog once a week. They blog about the 3 to 4 episodes that we release that week, and that's it. Just a way for us to reach it. Because right now, we don't do anything on the internet. We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean, we have our basic website bullshit, blah, whatever that. But this has completely grown to where it's at organically, which is crazy when you think about that.
Yeah, because we haven't really done
A lot. We haven't done shit.
Well, Doug's done some stuff.
Look at
you're hurting his feelings and shit.
He's done a lot.
Yeah. Doug does a lot.
He's looking at you.
I didn't say Doug. We have not.
When you say
collectively.
Because if you add all of our efforts up, then Doug's is divided into fourth, looks like less. So yes, it hasn't been much.
I look so unproductive.
So that's a good point. A blogger
would be excellent.
Yes, we were in search of a blogger, and then if it would be a double whammy if that blogger had a house too that we could stay at for 2 days too.
So. I mean, you know, two birds, one stone.
Well, yeah, we just need a place to stay for a couple days, and it cannot be our own houses. It cannot be the studio. We need to get out of our element. We need to go somewhere where we can 100% focus on ripping content, and I promise that we will produce another book or two.
And we'll,
two.
Like, clean up afterwards.
Oh, yeah, totally. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, no. We're good about that.
Should we go into the Q&A?
Oh, is today a Q&A?
Into the ether.
Did Justin even put the Q&A up?
I totally did, dude. A. At the last second.
Yeah, we gotta get better at that.
Everybody,
well,
do
dude,
the
fuck. I mean... We were here just yesterday. Yeah. You guys realize that.
He did put up the Q&A, dude, and we got a lot of good questions.
They're ready to go.
To get good questions.
Our pump heads are ready on call.
You know what?
Your shoes could attract so many bumblebees. I'm just looking at the colors on that. Those fuckers.
First of all, it's Breast Cancer Awareness
wild
Month.
See, again, shoes. Make me feel like shit.
Okay.
Again.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month is the reason why I have hot pink.
Didn't
laces
come
on.
With the shoes like that? That's not the style?
No,
it is Miami Vice. He's got the Miami Vice socks with it.
Because I know you didn't buy them
call
for
it the Dan, what,
Breast Cancer
that guy's
Awareness.
Name? Dan something.
So those that know anything about shoes, I'm wearing the Miami Vice LeBron James, which are a rare pair of shoes.
And you never lace them.
He
you
gets
always leave
really
them open.
Snarky when he talks
I
about
I do
shoes.
Get snarky. Because you know why? He's trying to insult me about shoes. And it's just like, no.
No, I'm not insulting your shoes. I'm just saying they're bright.
Listen, they're $500 million.
But you don't tie your
shoes. They're not $500 million.
You don't tie your shoelaces ever.
I never tie my shoelaces.
Is that a style?
Unless I'm going to race somebody.
Oh, okay. if you're going to go for a race.
If I'm going to race somebody.
Yeah, or jump.
Like, are you fast on the ground?
Or do anything like
are you fast on ground?
I'm actually pretty fast.
Are you faster than Justin fast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely could beat
He's
him.
He's got longer first. Legs,
yeah,
bro.
I'm
You've warrior. Raced Adam?
I already mentioned, like, on this podcast how unfast I am.
Unfast.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to be able to beat
I'm
him at something.
I'm very explosive.
Yeah,
you know, who I bet's hella fast?
Doug.
Yeah.
He's a retarded chimp.
I can see his legs moving really fast.
He's fast. He's fast in the
canopy.
That
doesn't necessarily mean he'd win.
He swings
the
across the canopy.
Yeah, he uses his arms and his legs when he runs. Literally.
I imagine like things catching on fire.
I think I'm the least fast, probably.
Well, you're the least athletic. That's
right. I bet you I could jump probably.
No.
Yes.
We already talked about
bro,
this.
Bro, I got some hops, dude.
You know what? For a guy who's...
Sorry.
I know, me too.
You know what, motherfuckers? For guys do you have... At the gym you work at, Justin, do you have something that measures it?
I sure...
We're going to go there.
No, I don't. But I'll bring mine.
Have you
bring
even,
yours.
Do you... I mean, I know you know how to train this way, but have you ever even trained like plyometrics? Have you even trained
that
way before?
Bro, you have no idea how explosive I am.
Have you ever trained plyometrics?
He's not going to answer that.
Have you ever even jumped on a jump box before?
Bro, I've jumped on a house one time.
I jumped on a house.
It was a Barbie house. You
say a Barbie house, your daughter's Barbie house.
It was a big one, though. It was super big.
Triple story.
It came out to my shins. I fucking jumped on it.
If we do a jumping competition, we are going to shoot a video for it for the Mind Pump listeners.
Bro, I can jump so fucking high, bro.
You need to stop.
I'm a high jumper.
You need to stop right now. You need to stop. I don't even think it's possible to jump in soccer shoes. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll jump.
Definitely got to get new shoes.
Yeah. All right.
All right, boys. You ready for your question?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Now that we've talked about jumping. Dennis Neuber, first question.
Oh, that's our boy.
Yeah, he's had 4 knee surgeries. Mm.
Damn.
And he's wanting to learn the best way to start to feel the contraction in his quads.
Right. So Dennis, I believe, trains quite a bit in MMA, and that's how he's got that's why he's injured his knee.
Oh, is that Dennis? I know this Dennis.
Yeah, from the forum, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
He actually works out at our gym.
Huh?
He works out in our gym.
Does he?
Yeah.
He works out over at...
The way Dennis... I'll give Dennis a little love right here. So the way Dennis...
And his wife, Jess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And they have a bulldog.
I recognize them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They have an awesome bulldog. She actually competes. She does bikini. He's actually he's an MMA fighter.
Right.
And he's been rehabbing himself. And this was like almost, God, it's probably been 6-7 months, maybe longer, overheard me talking to somebody about something there. She was asking a question, and I was breaking something down, and he overheard me mention a podcast, and he actually already listened to podcasts.
Oh, were you the one that introduced him to Mind Pump?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fantastic.
Did he just say Mind Cunt again?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You know what, bro?
I didn't.
I mess up on a lot of
such
people's
a
names.
Such a Freudian slip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mess up.
I didn't say Mind Cunt.
You
did. Totally did.
You totally did.
Doug, replay that.
I know, Doug. Yeah, Doug. You give me shit about I messed up on cellular core the other day, and I messed up on something else. Well, at least I don't get Mind Pump wrong.
You will. You're gonna say something like my. You're gonna say like my pump.
I know. I should.
You're like just cut like four letters out.
My
pump.
Welcome to my.
I should. To mindpumpradio.com.
So you told him about Mind Pump.
Yeah, so I mentioned to him, and he was actually one of my favorite stories, because you know, anytime I send people on the podcast, I love to run into them afterwards and get the first reaction they get to me. It happened to me again today, somebody who just started listening, and they came up to me like, oh my God, right? So he comes up to me, and he was actually listening to the gym, and I was like in the middle of a set, and he comes over to show me his screen, and he's listening to Mind Pump. And he's like, dude, I love this podcast.
Awesome.
He's, and he told me how he was ripping.
No, he's
out.
A good guy.
Very, very cool.
But
dude.
I read his whole question, because you shortened it a little bit there, Doug. But his whole question was, he's having trouble feeling his quad contract.
I bet after four surgeries. Yeah.
Right. So here's a little technique that I've used in clients with this particular similar situation. Because what ends up happening,
yeah, why don't you explain,
you add the muscle atrophies quite a bit. But more than that, you lose the central nervous system connection to it quite a bit.
Yeah, the neurological
connection. It just doesn't want to fire, and it feels that way. Like when you try to fire it, you're like, I can't flex it. Almost right. Like it's asleep. It's a shitty feeling. I've had it before with injuries. So one of the things that I like, there's two things you could do. Number one, you can spend maybe $100 if you want, and you can get a stim machine. Amazon will sell them. And so stim is the electronic stim you put the pads on, makes the muscle flex. Mm-hmm. Put that on your quad for about 5 to 10 minutes, then do your leg exercises. So that's one way to do it. If you don't want to use a stim machine, then what I suggest you do is hard, very, very slow, hard isolation movement for the quad. So like use the leg extension machine, put like no weight on it, or if that's too difficult, use a resistance band. Slowly raise the leg up, squeeze the leg as hard as you can, lower it real slowly. Do a bunch of reps there and make it burn, and then go into your compound movement, kind of like a superset. And that'll help you feel the quadricep fire. And as far as on a daily basis, you could do like trigger sessions for your quads.
Yeah, rubber bands.
Yeah, every single day.
Awesome for that.
Well, what's your thoughts on stabilization stuff too with that?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, like you said.
Like isometrics, I mean, really getting that, concentrating on the contraction and holding and sustaining the contraction and building that, you know, reconnection neuromuscularly. You know, that's something that, like, I mean, you could do that too with stretches too, you know, like specific stretches and getting into that specific position where it, you know, you can feel the tension, get reestablished there. So, but yeah,
I normally take someone like that. And I think everything that everyone's saying is right on 100%. And then I'll even go further to all of your exercises. Like now you have a standing overhead press, you do your cable flies, you do bicep curls, you do all these other movements, right? That are like auxiliary movements. I'll put that person in a split stance with a slight bend in their knee and put the weight on that, the bad knee, which you're trying to work on that firing. So basically you're standing.
So you're in like a lunge position.
Yeah, you're almost in like a lunge position. Basically you're almost balancing on that one leg. You're balancing on that one leg. The back foot's just barely on your toe. And all you're doing is you're forcing yourself to have to stabilize on that. And you're getting that habit of all your exercises, mm-hmm. you're doing that, you're using the weaker side, and just getting that reconnect. Because that's what it is. It's more neurological than it is. It's less.
And because it's neurological, frequency is very important.
Yes.
Yeah, don't the more
the lightweight, like you mentioned.
Yeah,
like
do it every day.
With weight, yeah, it's really about the mechanics. So getting in proper position, so it's a feel thing. So if you feel that, it's connecting, it's firing, like on even on a small level that you can increase over time of continuing that process.
Yep. So right. Dennis, if you see me in the gym, remind me, if you tap on my shoulder, remind me and I'll show you what I'm talking about, where I would do all the rest of my exercises, always all my auxiliary exercises in that split stance. That'll help that for sure.
Cool.
All right. Andrea Mom is asking how to spark up a relationship. That needs a little bit of a zip.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a little bored.
Get a little zest in there.
Bored in the relationship.
Do you know this person?
I do. I went to high school with her.
You do?
I do. I went to high school with her. I don't know her very well. It was a long time ago, and we didn't really know each other well back then, but I do know who she is. So A couple of things you could do. You could take drugs together. That's one way. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You could
that was a joke.
Play Naked Twister with... Yeah.
Well,
I would read books, sex books together. If you're talking about that kind of spark, have discussions about what you like, what your fantasies are, what your... You know, what you've never told anybody, that kind of stuff. Because when you connect with someone in a way that you haven't in the past, then that will always create a spark, in my opinion.
Yeah. Or, yeah, definitely plan something where you guys are doing something that's not, it's out of the ordinary, right? So, like I had mentioned before about taking music lessons or, you know, doing something that's like outside of something you guys would normally, like you'd share a new experience, you know, and you both learn something. Like some people like to dance and, you know, and go do something, but it's, you know, something maybe that has physical contact, obviously that's going to be awesome.
Start wrestling.
Wrestling would be great. You know, a little Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, take that up.
Throw some olive oil on each other.
You could wear those crazy little unitards. You know, just get weird.
That's politically incorrect.
What, unitard? I don't know.
All right, here comes Adam. Adam waited to last because he's got...
Because I am the wizard, that's why.
Because he's going to start talking about specific lubes.
Paint each other's toes.
Give you tingly feelings at the tip of your peepee.
No, well, here's the thing. I know I'm not the married one. Oh, that's an STD. So I'm not the married one, so it might sound like I might not have the best advice on the relationship, but I've been in a 5-year relationship with my girl, and I think we're pretty good about this, and I've been in a lot of relationships before that. And the first thing that I would actually address before I even tried to get super creative, like some of the creative great ideas these guys are giving, and the most common thing that I've seen in relationships, not only the ones I've been in, but the ones that I've dealt with clients and stuff, is what tends to happen to people when they get in a relationship is they stop doing the same things they were doing when they got the person. And sometimes that can be as simple as the man opening the door for the woman and or coming up.
Yeah,
and
like wear makeup.
Or coming up. Or, exactly. That's where I'm getting. Come up.
that wasn't directed to anybody.
Are you listening, honey?
Come up and give you a kiss on the neck from behind. Or like Justin was just saying right now, a huge one. And I most certainly have had this conversation many of times with women that I've dated in the past is that, you know, hey, when I first met you, you were wearing all this hot shit. Even if we were gonna cuddle and watch a movie, you had matching cute sweats and your tatas were hanging out.
And then 3 months later, she's taking a shit with
exactly.
the door open.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden we get comfortable together, and all of a sudden now it's always a ponytail, no makeup, and baggy boy sweats. And it's like,
see, I find that hot.
Well, that's because you're weird. So
I think
in
that's
left
sexy.
Field, bro.
Yeah, we're trying. Okay, this is why I give advice and why I finished this one last year. Yeah, this is not a science at all. So this is one where maybe we don't listen.
Throw
to
some glasses on there and you're done.
No, I think it's very important that you,
like, oh my God, you've been reading all day.
You keep things
you're so hot. Whoa.
Keep things hot.
Your brain's
keep things sexy,
bigger, isn't it?
And it's. I mean, we're visual creatures, and if you get so comfortable, and I know that part of being in a relationship is being able to be comfortable, but if you're looking for that spark, you know, first and foremost, look back at yourself. You know, what are you doing? Are you taking care of yourself the same way you took care of yourself when you first?
Are you eating bananas the same way you used to? You know what I mean?
Hey, wow. you say that being funny, but in reality, think of all the little.
Oh no! Exactly.
The little things that as a female or a male you used to do, and
this is 100% based on human behavior. It's what you're saying is very true, because some of the best sex anybody will ever have is almost breakup sex, right? Because you felt like you almost lost that person, and all of a sudden you realize, oh shit, I got to step my game back up. Yeah. And that's why people get comfortable. They're comfortable because they think the other person's
well,
like,
what you're
anywhere.
Also mentioning is basically based off of that flirty feeling, right? Like if you're not getting any flirty vibes again from your partner, and or maybe it's you, maybe you're so distracted with whatever it is, work and kids and your daily routine and all this kind of stuff, and you don't make efforts to, you know, be lighthearted around that person anymore. Everything's so serious, you know. That's why I joke so much, like, because it keeps things, it just keeps the vibe better, You know, and like if you're always serious all the time, like God, that's boring. Like, get, you know, live a little bit. Get a sense of humor.
This is something, I mean, I have no problem talking about this because this is something that, I mean, this is why I love my girl. I mean, we've been together for 5 years and we definitely have a relationship where we communicate this shit. I mean, this, even though we're not married, most certainly can you get into a funk of feeling that way. Anybody can. And I'm not somebody who will not come straight out and say, you know, right to her that, hey, you know, well, you don't really do this or you haven't done that, and or vice versa. I'm not pulling my weight. And one of the things I remember, I made a promise to her.
Because you haven't done your toes in a while.
Well, hey, I made a promise a long time ago that I would take care of myself. And I said, hey, you know what? Like, if I stop caring and loving myself and take care of myself that way, I can't ever get mad at you for leaving me for that reason. So I find it very important that you do that. And I take the time, and it sounds weird, and you give me shit for it or not, but even when I'm laying around the house and hanging out, like, I take the time to put things together that match or look good together. Like, it's to me, I think I'm already walking in the closet to grab something to put something on. How much more effort does it really take to actually coordinate it a little bit or to put something on that's a little more flattering than something that's just super comfortable? It's like, I can find something that's comfortable and that looks good at the same time. Like, those little things, people get into relationships and they start to throw that out the window.
I think it's important to point out this too. It's not even necessarily how you look. It's the fact that the person put the effort that's hot. That's really the part that's really feels good.
Yes and no.
Knowing that they're putting the effort.
It's both. We're visual creatures, bro.
We are.
Your wife walks down the stairs and she's wearing booty shorts and her tits are hanging out. You don't go like, oh, she thought about me.
I'm like, cover your eyes, kids.
you don't go like, oh, that's nice. She thought about it. No, you go like, damn,
mommy's on the prowl.
Yeah, mom looks good.
Well, like, it's different when you have kids. It is different when you have kids, because when you have kids and your wife does that, it's go time.
Oh, dude.
It's not a flirt. Like, you know, oh, it's time.
Well, we're opportunists.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we see blood in the water.
Sometimes, and Justin kind of touched on it a little bit too with Sal, one of you said that about the breakup thing and the human nature thing is sometimes, and I've teased my girl about that, is, you know, hey, maybe you need to go hang out with your girlfriends for a weekend. Go take 2 or 3 days off and you go hang out. I'm going to go hang out, do my thing with my boys. And then
that's very important for both sides. I mean, you got to maintain relationships, you know, with your friends and, you know, especially your guy friends and her girlfriends. You know, it's a different type of relationship that you're going to get and fulfillment, because I'm not going to be providing that, you know, for my wife and be, you know, to be honest, I don't watch any fucking girly movies ever. Ever.
Why do you say to be honest? That's so easy to believe for you.
Well,
I'm not shocked.
I'm just saying, like,
the guy that never used lotion before.
I just can't. I've tried. Like, I feel like, you know, this might be brought up at some point. You know, like, it's my biggest flaw. Like, I just can't. I can't do it. I can't sit through that shit.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, you talk about going and hanging out with their friends. So one of the most attractive qualities that I find in my girl too is that she's extremely independent. And I've been in many relationships where I've got rid of a girl because when I first met her, she was extremely independent. Then all of a sudden, everything we did revolved around my life. And being a selfish guy or not, I don't want that. I want a woman who has her own independence, has her own life. And if I'm busy working for the weekend, that she has something she can do, or she can go hang out with her friends. And sometimes we get relationships, they tend to, you know, and it's natural. It's naturally happens sometimes because you love each other, you want to spend time together, but then you begin to suffocate each other, and then everything is about each other when there's an importance of independence too. There's a very important factor that comes into play with, you know, having your own life, and then together you guys have your life together also. So, you know, maybe check yourself and ask yourself, you know, how often do you go hang out with your girlfriends or get away? I mean, nothing will spark up that relationship too, of just, you know, abstinence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go spend a little bit of time away from each other and see if that draws you guys closer too.
Yeah,
so
sex is the fire.
Yes.
Remember that.
Dude, it's so hard for me to get Dr. Phil with you two guys. I apologize. Andre, you can inbox me and I can give you some more good advice, but these guys are killing me right now.
Let's all just have more sex.
Right now in this room.
It helps.
Wait.
Moving along, Doug.
All right, Doug.
Yeah, Justin just summed it all up there.
That's it. I tried.
Yeah, next is from Odd Rockin' Egg. And he's asking about hiring a trainer. Do you ask them to put you through a workout? And if so, what are you looking for?
That's the one thing I've never done when hiring a trainer. And I never would tell a trainer to take me through a workout.
Yeah, I was looking through that question. I'm like, God, I've never done that.
No,
we have never. But how often do that's what everyone does. That's the thing, right? Give a free session. And you try and they try
you
and
sell them on the work, awesome workout.
No, yeah. But he's talking about when you're hiring a trainer. Is it, now here's how I interpret it.
I think he
it.
Means hiring like he, you guys are you're thinking of like a management perspective.
Oh,
he's like, thinking of like going through a workout yes. that a trainer and evaluating
it.
Them.
Yes,
I yeah. get it. So I was
you'll never get that from
I
me.
I thought he was asking about like I'm managing a gym and I'm going to hire
no,
a trainer.
No, I think he means
because some managers do that.
Yeah, I think he's talking about for himself.
For himself, okay.
That's what I think,
if
too.
If you're going to work with a trainer, yes. Have them take you through a workout, but what you're...
Yes and no.
Well, what I was going to say is what you're looking for in that workout
I'll
is...
I'll sell you training, never have to lurk you. I don't know. You don't have to do that.
Not to sell training, no. I could sell training and not...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's not an indicator if you're a good trainer. I honestly think that it, you know...
Well, the things I was going to tell him to look for aren't necessarily what are in the workout.
Yeah.
Is he listening to what your goals are? Is he doing a proper assessment? That's the more like knowledgeable stuff. And then, do you like the person? Are they training you appropriately? Are they just hammering the shit out of you? Yeah. If you train with someone for a free session, they beat the crap out of you, that's a wonderful indicator that they're not a good trainer.
Can't you stalk them first? You know what I mean? Like, go into that gym, like, work out for a while, like, assess, like, look around. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's a better indicator to see them, how they interact with other people
that is
and
a
their
great
trainers.
Point.
I mean, their clients.
Excellent point.
Yeah, and then you could just see, like, okay, I like that interaction. I like how he explains that to them. I like how, you know, energetic and the vibe.
Well,
know?
I'll tell you right now, when I look around, there's so where I work out, there's probably 15, 20 trainers that train there. And there's maybe two I would even consider training with or hiring, I should say, just because they're not even, most of them aren't even attentive to their clients. Most of them are on their fucking cell phone texting or doing something else or bullshitting or like carrying a coffee around and talking to members or flirting with a girl or like seriously like you just
yeah if you watch one you'll yeah. you'll know right away
yeah watch yeah. a trainer for a little while and you can just see the way they conduct themselves. I mean, here's my thing. When I used to teach trainers, I used to say, listen, as soon as you walk through that door, you're on sale and you are working. So you and that's how it is. Most people are watching. They say the average person watches a trainer for 3 months before they consider purchasing them. So it's that's actually a common thing, is to kind of stalk your trainer a little bit before you do. And then, like, you know, Sal said too, I mean, I'm not really worried about any half-wit can give you a hard workout. I don't want to see how you work me out. I'm interested in what you have to say to me and what kind of questions you ask me. You know,
if they just take you through a workout without even asking you a single question about your history, without doing a assessment, do you have injuries? What are your goals? That's bad. Like, you should never take a client, just take them through a workout without. It'd be like taking your car to a mechanic and the mechanic doesn't even hear what you have to say about your car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, how the fuck are they going to fix it?
And then tells you, oh, yeah, it's better.
Unless the whole workout is an assessment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've done that, but that's totally different. Like, it.
Well, that actually would probably be a very good sign of them being a good trainer, is that that's exactly what they do. Is they, you know, the workout is not a workout. It's more like they're watching how you move and they're taking notes, you know? Like,
exactly.
That, I mean, that would be a great sign if he's a good trainer or she. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Next question.
Fit Farias asks about tips for bodybuilders looking to learn Olympic lifts.
Well, that's kind of my one.
I'm gonna answer that since I know so much about it. I'm just kidding, Justin. Why don't you go in?
Yeah. So I mean, and I was trying to look up as far as there was like more to that question. She's talking about more of like how to transition from bodybuilding.
Yeah, she said she was having a tough time.
Olympic lifts.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. I mean, the difference being, and I forget the words that she said, but it was basically, going from more of power type movements, right? So how is that so much more different than lifting with bodybuilding?
Yeah, she says going from controlled movements to explosive is harder than I expected.
Controlled movements. Okay, right. So that's interesting. Yeah, because I was wondering if it was just like going from machines to compound lifts, but there's definitely a process that if you think about power, you think about I'm lifting all this heavy weight and I'm moving it quickly. when actually the opposite is true. You're trying to establish this neuromuscular recruitment at a very accelerated pace. So the best way to do that is to start with like no weight, and to start with say a stick or say like just the bar itself, or
just to perfect
the
form.
Yeah, just it's about the mechanics of it. It's about the mechanics and how efficient you are improving on those mechanics. Now, if you don't have the mechanics down and you're trying to accelerate that, that's where the disasters happen. And so you have to start with lightweight. A lot of times that I've found sometimes though, when you actually add weight and you're trying to move it, the momentum of it will carry you, and you'll be able to actually fall into position sometimes, and let's say catch the bar in a position.
Is it safe to say, Justin, that you would practice with, let's say, a broomstick?
Right.
And once you feel your form is good, then stick to the broomstick and then practice speed with form before moving up in weight?
Yeah.
So perfect form, then perfect speed.
Perfect form, perfect speed,
and then start
adding weight. Oh, I mean, okay. It's kind of that progression.
Okay.
And just work on getting more explosive as far as like driving your feet down and perfecting that process. So if you're not getting the response, you have to keep working on that.
Hmm.
So.
And as far as I don't have any experience with Olympic lifts, but I do have experience with explosive based exercises that are similar, only because when I used to do compete in jiu-jitsu, I would throw them in my routine. And it's about moving the weight as fast as you can. It's not about moving as much weight as you can,
right?
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, so that I mean,
like if I'm doing a deadlift in my form, and then I'm like trying to move as much weight as possible, but with power, I'm just trying to move it faster each time, not necessarily
trying to rip it off the ground as quickly as possible. So it's a totally different mentality, and it's a different recruitment pattern. So it all starts, and like I said, like a lot of it is very mental, and so just getting yourself into the right position allows you to then clear your mind and allow the process to happen. So a lot of times you have to be in the right position to be able to activate properly. And so that's why the mechanics I stress is the number one thing to stress in the beginning. And you know, that process will happen because these are complicated lifts. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I can't just sit here and break down a power clean. It's going to take me a couple podcasts to really do it justice.
It's probably Olympic lifting is the most technical lifting.
Very technical, and it takes
technical.
Okay.
Here's
my advice. So you go through all that process, but now you have to spend, you know, a couple days a week just specifically on that lift. For like
just
over
practicing.
An hour, practicing and practicing that lift, and
so you're not even trying to get a workout.
You're not
just
trying
practicing.
To get a workout. You're
that's
just trying
important.
To, you're trying to master the mechanics of that lift.
Right. That's an important thing to say, because I think people think practice when they're doing this, and they're thinking workout. I'm going to do another Olympic workout. No, what Justin is saying is you're not even give a shit if you sweat or get a good workout. All you're doing is for 1 hour. It's like you're trying to learn how to dance.
Yep. It's like a sport. You're part
it's a whole
like
new
a
thing.
Right.
Olympic lifting, you have to totally detract or take yourself out of being in a gym setting. Like now I'm learning something completely new. Like this is a new way of moving the weight and moving my body. It's like its own little sport. Right. Mm-hmm. So I have to learn how to properly move in order to get this weight to do what I want it to do, and then also get underneath it properly. So it's something that like, okay, so me going through years and years of football in sports and having like a good strength and conditioning coach that established this with me when I was young, it's hard to then come back and articulate that whole process because it happened over such a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it takes me a while to kind of gather, the process of that, like mentally, like how do I describe this to this person to give them what they want to know as far as tips are concerned?
Well, what I got from what you said was just practice with really lightweight and perfect your form before you're trying to get faster and then add weight.
Yeah. I mean, if I could simplify it, that's what I would do.
Yeah. But it's much more complicated than
exactly.
That.
Well, I think the one tip or contribution I have to that, since I don't have any experience with really with Olympic lifting, my concern would be this, if being a bodybuilder, And some bodybuilders, I don't know if this is, if I'm speaking to you and this hits home or not, but some of them train without taking the body through full range of motion. And if you've been doing that for years, shortening muscles, right. And then you try to go to a Olympic lift, a power movement where a dynamic full range of motion type of exercise, you better be careful because you're probably going to have to spend some time getting into some real good stretching before you can actually perform that.
It's a great point. Stuff.
Yeah, like muscling it. Like you have to like eliminate your mentality of trying to lift it like you're pulling, and it's a different mentality because I'm ripping this thing and my body is moving into the position. I'm not pulling it like I'm not ripping it like I'm trying to strength.
It's not like you're deadlifting it and then reverse curling it.
You don't
and then
see my elbows bent at all, right? Because that's gonna take away from the entire process of it.
Right.
So there's all these little things like you can't use, like I'm not using my biceps, you know, I'm not like I'm using my whole body at once to produce this like boom explosion. And then that just happened.
You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen a bodybuilder throw a punch? You ever seen that? Like no. Big dudes throw punches who don't know how to punch.
Like
they muscle. It's like they're doing this muscling, that. You know, and it doesn't generate lots of power.
We know that speed has more to do with that than anything.
You see a boxer throw a punch, and it's the way an Olympic lifter lifts. It's like this,
and that's what I meant by that is like
throwing it with their hip more than anything.
Right.
We had a guest on here not too long ago who's talking about how they don't go down past 90 degrees. They don't do this. Like if you've been training that way for a long time, where like you sit on a bench press. And you drop and you catch
definitely
it.
Definitely going to tear something.
Yeah, you catch it 90 degrees and you've been doing that for months or years for bodybuilding. And then all of a sudden you go to do, a bench press for Olympic lifting. You got to come all the way down to your chest. And you're trying to do that with a heavy weight in a powerful manner. That's how you rip some shit out, So maybe even before. I mean, that's why also going back to the broomstick theory, like Justin, not only that, but you probably want to get into some really good stretching because it's going to take you a while before your muscles are used to going through that full range of motion because you've spent many years.
Bro, are you kidding me? Me or you could not do an overhead squat. I guarantee it.
Oh, I know.
There's no way.
No, I know.
My
that.
Shoulders would not.
I know
be flexible
that. I know.
Enough.
That's why.
Just with no weight.
That's
just
why
the freaking bar.
That's why I knew I had. That's right. A little bit of information I can give you because
right,
I know
right.
I've messing around with stuff like that. I would know better than never. Put it crazy. Just like I know that I can't do an overhead squat with it. Like that. So, absolutely, you most certainly be careful of that. That's the one thing I'd be worried about.
Yeah, take your time. I mean, it's definitely a cool transition because I've heard that it totally changes your physique, right? Going from that type of training and going into it, you might benefit both, right?
I think you will.
So
okay, one more question, guys. This is from Droopy70, or it might be Droopy70, I'm not sure. This guy had a fairly long question. Had been in a number of accidents.
And ironically, you wrote one word.
I wrote one word.
Well, no, I remember.
You wrote like a paragraph. Doug's like, signaling.
I remember what this is.
Well, yeah, he's been in accidents, put on some weight. He's, wanting to get back into shape. He's an iron worker, works long hours, and he's trying to stay on track, yet he has a very irregular schedule. So he's asking about signaling, prison workouts, and that type of thing.
Okay, so signaling is a type of workout where rather than doing one hard workout a day, you're doing several lighter workouts.
Oh, sounds like our trigger sessions.
It's like trigger sessions. And so part of my inspiration for trigger sessions also came from the way people work out in prisons. Because in prison, some of these guys are so bored that they'll do push-ups in the morning, push-ups in the afternoon, push-ups in the evening, pull-ups all day long. They never really go to failure. They just kind of practice the movement over and over again. And these guys a lot of times come out looking very muscular. And so that's the theory behind signaling, but it's very similar. It's how we use trigger sessions.
I thought about going to jail for my first show just for that reason.
Just to do that?
Yeah, I thought, I got 8 months.
You would be super popular.
I got 8 months till this show time. I could go to jail.
How popular
for
would Adam be in jail?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's already clean and everything.
With his toes. So, signaling, small
fresh
workouts
fish
throughout the day, it's great. But will it replace the heavy, more intense kind of barbell movements at the gym? No. If you combine the two, which is kind of how we put maps together, then you've got something that works phenomenal. So if you're not familiar with the MAPS program, you can check it out at mindpumpradio.com. But other than that, I would say, you know, your best bet, if you have limited time, 2 or 3 days a week in the gym, full body, barbell movement.
What if he's listening to us in prison, though?
No, I think he's out of prison.
He says he's an iron worker, so I assume he has a job.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if he was listening to us in prison.
They wouldn't. That would be let him. Cool. That would be so awesome.
Could you? I mean, you can, dude. You can do. You can listen to that in prison. Prison these days, they get all kinds of cool shit. They cable TV, bro. I'm sure they can freaking listen to.
That'd be awesome.
I'm sure you can listen to Mindpump. We should go into the prison, Doug. We should, that sounds like a job for the producer.
Get all those guys even more buff.
I don't know if we should send Doug.
Nah, don't send me. I'm not made for that.
No, you are.
Exactly my point.
Yes, you are.
Hey, I heard they call you the spinner.
Over here, spinner.
Spin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.